proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Welcome, friends. I'm so glad you decided to join us for this second part of this very important topic. Spiritual warfare is on, and the darkness has pulled out all the stops. This is part number two, and I'm Nena Arias. The spiritual warfare from the realm of darkness knows no bounds, except those we place on it with God's guidance and His power. We mentioned in our previous program that neither God nor Satan can do anything without our permission, because God has given us a free will, which is under our total domain or control. When things happen, it is because we have given our consent or opened the door through our very decisions and behavior. We send out signals in our decisions and behaviors. Every action we take is either in God's realm or in Satan's realm, and that is where the result comes from. It produces after its kind. There's no in between. We're either on God's side or on Satan's side. There are only two options for culture, meaning the way we live. It's either God's culture or Satan's culture. Let's continue learning and reminding ourselves how we can enter this spiritual warfare and win. You heard that right. There's no better scripture to describe the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in than the one we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." End of quote. There we have it. But before we proceed, let us point a couple of things out. It says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning that human beings are not our enemies. Oh, I know, it's human beings who come against us and allow themselves to be used by evil to come against us, but they are not our true enemy. We are told that we wrestle, or we fight in the spiritual realm, against rulers, against authorities, and against cosmic powers of the world of darkness. Another thing that we need to pay attention to there is that it specifies different ranks of forces in the spiritual realm. Some are stronger than others. Some are more expert in the area where the enemy wants to make us fall. And so these entities are assigned to carry out their expertise according to the power and the ability that they have been given. But all of these forces belong to the realm of darkness, and they battle in heavenly places, meaning that they have domain above us. Deceiving and enticing people into doing his bidding is what the devil is all about. And he specializes in this. He is the master deceiver. And we unmasked him yesterday when Jesus described him perfectly in John chapter 8, verse 44. So you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. End of quote. There we have Satan perfectly unmasked, and he cannot hide. Satan works his schemes through lies because the truth is not in him. He cannot use truth. He may use half-truths, meaning that he will mix in with his lies a little bit of fact, a little bit of truth, just to use it as a bait. But the truth is not found in him, so he has to work with deception. And we have a perfect example of this in the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Satan used little bits and pieces from the Word of God to try to get Jesus to fall into his temptations. But it didn't work. The deception did not work. And also something very important to point out in that incident is that Satan's traps did not work because Jesus knew the Word of God, and that is our defense. And this is what we are emphasizing, that yes, it's true. The realm of darkness has unleashed its attacks on the human race, but we are not defenseless. We have the Word of God to tell us how to do what to do to defeat him and win our battles. But you know, even this must be understood. The devil and his demons, they're not going to come to you necessarily in a grotesque manner, like many times Satan is portrayed, with horns and a tail and pitchfork. That's not who Satan is. And his demons are not going to present themselves that way. That would not be attractive. That would be obvious to all of us. So no, they do not come in a grotesque manner. He uses temptation that is very attractive to you, and the fleshly, sinful appetites that he knows are a weakness of the sinful nature, and he uses these to lure people into his snares. Yes, that's right. He makes sin very attractive so people can fall for it. It is always going to be through things that are very appealing to us in some way. And sin, in a flash of the pan or in momentary occasions, can be very pleasurable. So this is what Satan takes advantage of. And his temptations then are very appealing. They can be through relationships. People get lured into sin, into traps, in relationships that are unhealthy or that are formed with the wrong motives. Satan lures people through pleasures. And boy, does he know how to use those traps. He uses snares with money. What won't people do for money? There's even a common saying that everybody has a price, because money is very enticing. and many people do not have the ethics or the value systems correctly in place to resist the lure of money, especially what they call easy money, although there is no such thing. For instance, a porn star was being interviewed, very young, pretty girl, and one of the questions she was asked, "Why have you taken this line of work?" quote unquote. And she said, "I want to buy my mother a house. So I do it for the money. The money is very good. There's no job that I could find that would generate this kind of money for me. So I do it for the money." Another very sad case was a young woman who was married and she did pornography with her husband's consent. And when asked why they did this, they both said, "For the money. We need the money. We cannot make ends meet." Money is very alluring, but there is no such thing as easy money. There are always violations to ethics and moral values whenever anything is labeled easy money. The drug traffic is a clear example of this. There's a lot of money in drug trafficking. But look at all the immorality and the violation that is involved in drug trafficking. So the enemy knows this. He knows that there is weakness in humans when it comes to money. Others are lured into traps because of popularity. How many young girls, pretty cheerleaders, are lured into wrong relationships because they are the most popular girls on campus? And somebody with wrong motives attracts them, lures them, and the reason why they end up there is because they were popular. Everybody wanted to be around them. That was their attraction, and they fed their ego on that. And they end up ruining their lives. What can we say about addictions? Addictions of behavior, addictions of substances that make you feel good momentarily. But those are just traps to enslave you in sin and ultimately destroy you. That is the goal of Satan. Regardless of the temptation, the lure, the bait that he uses to ensnare you, his ultimate goal is to destroy you. And then there are the very, very subtle but enticing traps. By that I mean, Satan can get you to feed your ego and develop pride. And pride can come through even what seems to be very outstanding accomplishments. A college degree, an award of some kind, excelling in the world of education, of intellectualism. But all this can be motivated for pumping somebody's ego. And the enemy makes you think that you are better than anyone else. Do you see that trap? You develop a condescending attitude toward others. Why? Because you think you're better than them, and you're always competing. There's always self at the center of pride. It is the mother of all sins. It is selfishness to the umpth degree. The devil is extremely crafty to present evil in ways people will never perceive at first, unless they guide themselves by the word of God, which unmasks the devil and his schemes right before our eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. End of quote. God unmasks the motivations, even though they're not very apparent. And this is where we have to depend on God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit working within us to give us what is known as discernment. Discernment is to know what is behind something, even though it's not very obvious. And God has said, we will not be ignorant of the devices that the enemy uses. On the other hand, God deals with truth and love directed at the heart of people. He presents himself through love and his truth. God prefers to work through knowledge, through understanding, and through truth. Now, even though some people may not like his truth, because God's truth is very black and white, it points out sin. But in the end, it is the only thing that will free us. Just like it says in John chapter 8, verse 32, you know this probably by heart, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. End of quote. To know the truth is not only to have head knowledge of it, but to apply it. That is how you truly know God's truth. It's not just reading words on a paper. It is putting it to practice and seeing the result when you do apply it. This is the only way to know, truly know, God's truth. You must experience it. That word must become alive in you, in your way of life, and in the foundation on how you make decisions and move forward. We know that the realm of darkness has pulled out all the stops, and it has no degree of mercy. The enemy does not have the singlest, most minute degree of mercy upon anyone. But from the very beginning of the fall of humans into sin, God announced his plan that would destroy the devil and the effects of sin if people wanted to be free. He said it from the very beginning. The enemy has pulled out all the stops. But 2,000 years ago, God also continued to pull out all his stops when he sent his precious son, Jesus Christ, to defeat Satan once and for all and to crush his head like he promised from the very beginning. When he told the devil, the old serpent, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. End of quote. In other translations of the Bible, it says, he shall crush your head. I like that word. He shall crush your head, even though you're going to bruise his heel. Satan was utterly destroyed in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ back to heaven where he came from. We mentioned in our previous program several schemes the devil has unleashed on humanity in the last two centuries especially, and we are greatly impacted today by those events. And we must understand what has happened. That outstanding blow that was hurled at God and the foundation of his creation upon which everything rests, the attack that I'm talking about is the theory of evolution, which has pulled so much of humanity away from God with the sole purpose to destroy us. He has hit a devastating blow with that one. To the degree that people do not believe in God or his word, they don't even know who they are, where they came from, or where they are going. They don't know their purpose in life. They don't know their identity. They don't know what comes after physical death, because they have accepted to believe lies and discard God's truth. Through this theory, the Bible, the Word of God, and all its values for right living were put in doubt. And now this false concept as to the origin of all things is that it is taught in our institutions of learning at all levels without irrefutable facts. Yet this is taught as true science. This is the case especially in the government-owned institutions. In other words, we are paying for the propagation of this deception that has poisoned our civilization. When I say we, I'm talking about the taxpayers. It is our money that is supporting this deception. A huge target through the devil's schemes have been and are our children, even through school curricula, where children as young as 4 years old are being assaulted in their minds and bodies by being taught dirty, filthy concepts about sex and even causing them to role play sexual things in class. Young children have no business being awakened to sexual desires at their young age. The time will come when that will take its course, and it has to go through puberty, and it has to go through a process. And the parents are the ones who are supposed to instruct their children in these issues. The educational system has absolutely no business usurping this authority and taking it upon themselves to assault our children. They are teaching the children that they know best to know when they are ready to have sex with other people. What audacity! Never mind about the horrendous consequences of early irresponsible sex, like pregnancies out of wedlock and STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. And on top of all that is the inward violation that when young people engage in these acts before they're married and with their married partner and within the confines of how God has stipulated for sex, they devalue themselves. They lose respect. They lose who they really are. And the detriment is very profound. We have examples of how this is playing out. And here are a few more of the assaults being imposed upon children. For instance, in California, parents have presented a lawsuit to prevent the state's public school system from asking children to recite, under the guise of ethnic studies curriculum, prayers to the Aztec deities that have been worshipped with human sacrifice. That's right. These parents argue that doing so violates the U.S. and state constitutions. But let's go deeper than that. How about doing more? In that it violates the standards the Creator has established for life. This is pulling out the stops in the spiritual war from the realm of darkness to destroy us. It goes beyond saying that God no longer matters to these people, these so-called educators in the educational systems. Dear friends, the past generations have been so emptied out of true values in life that things like this cold-blooded crime happens when many times over in our society. And I'm referring to how a 17-year-old boy killed his 3-week-old newborn son because he was angry that his girlfriend, also 17 years old, didn't abort the child, but decided to keep him. And he was worried that he would have to pay child support. Can you fathom this? This irresponsibility, and it's all the awakening that the schools are contributing to. It's all the lack of parenting that is going on, that the parents are not preparing their children for these serious things in life. Another incident. A mother was accused of killing her newborn child in New York. She had previously claimed to have miscarried. She was alone in her home when she gave birth to a 38-week-old male infant. She hit the baby twice, which fractured his skull and resulted in his death. But friends, this was not a young person. This was a 30-year-old mother, a full-grown adult. What is happening that is causing people over a wide spectrum of age differences to commit such heinous crimes? Values have been washed out. What do you have left? How often do we hear of college students assaulted and either raped or killed on campuses? This is becoming a more frequent occurrence. And what could we say about the so-called road rage assaults? It is somehow justified in the eyes of some people to pull out a gun and shoot who they believe to be their aggressors out on the road. What about the assault upon the police who are being ambushed and shot on the spot when they stop people? Just a simple traffic violation. The warfare is on. Like we said, the devil has pulled out all the stops. But this has been a process. It has not been something overnight. We have allowed the true values to come crashing down and evil to be implemented in its place. Just like Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." End of quote. We have allowed this, friends. Every time a pillar of life has been attacked, has been switched, has been diluted, has been replaced with something less than what God has established, we have allowed it. We have allowed it. We have not come against sin as strongly as we should. And there are no vacuums. There are no vacuums in values. There are no vacuums in leadership. There are no vacuums around us. If good does not fill those vacuums, evil will come along and fill those places. That's how real this spiritual warfare is that we are all involved in, and we must make serious decisions today how we are going to fight against the realm of darkness. We're going to continue with this topic, and I hope that you will join us.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.